that you let us feel your love. Let us know your love. Let us understand your love. You loved us so much that you sent your Son to take our place on the cross. You loved us so much that you gave everything so that we could have a relationship with you again. God, we thank you for that gift. Help us never, ever to take it for granted. Help us not to treat this gift that you have shared with us, this grace, this mercy. Help us never to treat it lightly, but help us to have a better understanding of what it is so that we may share it with others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Guys, grab a Bible as you are headed to your seats tonight.
Guys, grab your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, and we will be there in just a second. In a couple weeks, we're going to be starting a series, and I'm going to have to get, the series can't start until I get the promotional stuff together for it. And for that, I'm going to have to get John the Rock Brock to help me out with it, because it just will not look right unless we have the picture that I'm thinking about that we need. But in a couple weeks, we'll be starting that series. So, guys, get ready for that. But tonight, I want to talk about the inside. Luke chapter 11. And we'll be starting in verse 37. But tonight I want to just talk about the inside and what it is that we need to have cleaned up. What it is that we need to straighten up in ourselves. What it means to be a follower of Christ. What it means to really understand who God is and what it is that He has done for us. You know, we're all concerned about what we look like and how we dress and how we present ourselves to others. You know, even when we're down or even when we're not exactly happy or when we're not exactly, you know, on the up and up, sometimes we want to look, we still put on the right face. I know I've seen, it's you go into hospitals and people trying, you know, they've had open heart surgery and they know, they get out and know people that are coming to visit them, and the first thing they do is comb my hair. Help me look good. If it's a lady, help put lipstick on. Help me look better. You know, we all want to be presentable, even in our worst state. But guys, it's what's on the inside that really matters. It's what really is on the inside of our life that God is concerned with. Jesus warned of cleaning just the outside and not taking up what's on the inside. And In Luke chapter 11, it says, a Pharisee asked him to dinner. It said, he entered his house and sat right down at the table, and the Pharisee was shocked and offended at what he saw. Jesus didn't wash up before his meal. But the master said to him, I know you Pharisees burnish the surface of your cups and your plates so that they sparkle in the sun, but I also know your insides are maggoty with greed and a secret evil. Stupid Pharisees, didn't the one who made the outside also make the inside? That's important. Didn't the one who made the outside also know the inside? Turn both your pockets and your hearts inside out and give generously to the poor, and then your lives will be clean, not just your dishes and your hands. See, Jesus is telling this guy who is steeped in quote-unquote religion, who's always, what do I have to do to be right? Or what rules do I have to follow? Or what do I have to do to make it to heaven? Jesus is telling them, it's not about what you can assess or what you can amass or what you can do, but it's what's right on the inside. He tells us right there, he says, I made your outside, you can't fool me. I know the outside, but I also know the inside. In Matthew 23, he says, you're hopeless. You're religion scholars and Pharisees, you frauds. Everything on the inside, on the outside is shined up and nice, but on the inside it's rotten. Guys, what's on the inside of your life that nobody sees, God sees. What's on the inside that you hide from everybody, your hurt, your pain, your insecurity, your greed, your selfishness, whatever. You may hide it from everybody, but Jesus says, He says that the Father made you. He knows you. How many of you have ever asked a friend to come to church and they say, I don't want to come to church because I don't want to be around hypocrites? How many of y'all have ever heard that? Well, you know what I always tell people who say that? I say, well, you can sit in church an hour with a hypocrite, or you can spend all eternity with them in hell. You cannot judge your relationship with God on what somebody else does. People will let you down, okay? Pastors will let you down. Youth leaders will let you down. Your friends will let you down. And those things will let you down and can affect you because they do hurt sometimes. But guys, don't let that affect your relationship. Don't let that affect your relationship with God the Father. See, if someone offends you, someone hurts you, someone does, you know, whatever to you, someone that you look up to lets you down, and they stumble and fall in a sin or a temptation, and it hurts you, you can do one of two things. You can let it affect you for a long time and let it tear you up inside, or you can give it to God and go on. See, I've always told, you know, when someone offends you or someone makes you mad or someone ticks you off or whatever, and they have the appearance of righteousness, but they're not the hypocrite or whatever, don't let that hypocrite that's sitting in church affect the relationship that you have with God the Father. Because when you're focused on what that person is doing in your life, when you're focused on what that person is doing in the church, when you're focused on what they're doing, sitting there talking in church, when you're focused on what they're doing, guess what? You're not focused on God. When you're focused on how someone looks, you're not focused on God. You'd be sitting there in church going, mm-hmm, look at that. That girl sure does look good today. Woo! Or that dude is smoking. He's hot. You just took your attention off God and you put it on that person. See, that's being hypocritical because you're sitting in church where you supposedly should be praising and worshiping God. You need to reevaluate the inside. You need to reevaluate. You may look good outside, or but what's on the inside is rotting away because you don't have the right focus on it. See, the Word tells us to have a relationship with God, you have to be born again. When you're born again in the faith, when you're born again in the Spirit, it says that the old man has died. And this is what's important, guys. This is what I want to really get into you. How many of you have prayed the prayer of salvation? Prayer when you ask God to come into your life. And you say, God, forgive me of my sins. I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life and change me. Okay, we've done that. We've done that. Okay, get this. When the old man dies, you have to let the newness of Christ come into your life. How many of you have ever prayed and said, God, forgive me of this sin. I'll never do it again. And then next week, you've done it again. I mean, y'all don't have to raise your hands. Oh, y'all all busted. I'm sorry. I didn't tell y'all to raise your hands, man. I'm sorry. No, but guys, we've all done it. I'm just playing with you. We've all done it. But the thing is when you have been birthed in the Spirit, when you have given God your life and be born anew, it involves getting the Word of God into you. It involves asking the Spirit to guide you. You've got to let the newness come in. You cannot let the old dead crawl back up. Man, I've just got to use it because, you know, it's just what everybody's talking about. But the whole walking dead thing. You can't imagine that. Imagine your old life, your sinful life is the zombie, the rotting flesh, the coming all after you. I mean, that's what's coming after you. And it doesn't even have the strength to really... Man, I didn't know zombies could run. But these guys, they're like... You know, and I'm like, man. But see, that's what you face every day. When you've given your life to God, and you said, God, I want this newness and this freshness. It's Satan that brings your old zombified, dead, sinful self back into your life. When he goes, hey... You know, God says, hey, why don't you go and witness to your friend over there that's sitting by themselves because, you know, they're, you know, whatever. They're by themselves. They're hurting. And you're like, okay, God, I'm going to go do it because you've empowered me. By your strength, I am by my weak. Your strength is in my weakness and I can talk and I can do all this. And then all of a sudden, here comes your old zombie self, your old dead self coming back up. Ah, you stink. Ah, you know, you can't do anything. You can't talk to him. You can't witness to him. You blah. Okay, now we all know what zombies do. Zombies go and start eating people. Now get this. You can let the zombie of your old past life catch up to you and devour that newness that God has put into you. See, the way that you stop that is you keep that zombie sinful life that you gave to God in the grave. You know, when you're baptized, that's a symbol. How many, if you've never been baptized, we're going to be doing a baptismal service in a couple weeks. And if you would like to be baptized, gosh, let us know. It would be my honor to baptize you. And we even have the heater in the baptistry fixed, so it'll be warm water. So, you know, if you want to be baptized, it's an awesome thing to be baptized in warm water. So, you know, now would be the time to do it. But guys, when you're baptized and you walk in the water, it's a symbolism of when you go in the water, as Jesus died for your sins and was buried, he carried your sins away. And when you're raised out of the water, it's a semblance of how Jesus raised from the grave, victorious over death, sin, and hell, Satan, and all the zombified sins of your past. They're dead and gone. You're raised to walk in a new life. Guys, don't let the old life overtake your new life. Put off the old man, is what the Word tells us. Mark chapter 7, it says, Jesus went on and he says, it's what comes out of a person that pollutes you. The obscenities, the lust, the theft, murders, adulteries, greed, depravity, deceptiveness, lying, dealings, carousing, mean looks. Whoo! Mean looks. Don't give nobody no mean looks. Slander, arrogance, foolishness. All of these things are vomit from what's in your heart. He's saying, if you speak it, what comes out of your mouth is who you are. How many of you have ever gone to a peach orchard? We have. And gone to pick peaches. How many of you have ever picked a fruit from a tree? Or a berry from a tree? Now, have you ever gone to the blueberry patch? We went to a blueberry patch this summer and we picked blueberries out. Oh, I love them. I was eating them like crazy. I know that I probably picked not as many as I ate. But get this. I didn't go into the blueberry bush and pick any grapes. I didn't go to the blueberry bush and pick any apples. But later on, we went to the peach orchard. And there were peaches everywhere. What a blueberry in sight. Because the peach tree produces peaches. And the blueberry bush produces blueberries. The apple tree produces apples. What I want to ask is, what are you producing in your life? See, all of life is about reproduction. That's the way God ordained this world. The seed from an apple can be thrown into the ground, buried with earth, watered, fertilized, and it grows and it produces an apple. An orange tree, the seeds from an orange can be planted, fertilized, watered, and it'll produce an orange. And guess what? When you mash an orange, you get orange juice, because that's what God put in it. When you crush an apple, it'll make applesauce, it'll make apple juice, it'll make apple cider. There's no way you can squeeze an apple and get orange juice out of it. Okay? The natural order of ways is you produce who you are. Now let's speak to this in a spiritual sense. What are you producing? What's coming out of your life? Even at your age, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, you're producing things. See, what comes out in the stress of life is what's in your heart. See, when you mash that orange juice, that's putting stress on that orange, and orange is going to come out of it. I don't understand how orange can be a thing, a color, and a juice all at one time. But it is. You can mash it, and that's what's going to come out. When the pressure is applied to it, that's what's going to come out. Guys and girls, let me tell you, you're going to be have pressure put on your life. If you haven't had it yet, you're going to have it. There's going to be things that's going to freak you out. There's going to be things that's going to make you mad. There's going to be things that's going to make you sad. There's going to be things that's going to make you glad. I'm like Dr. Seuss. But guys, when the pressure comes on, eating green eggs and ham, when the pressure comes on, what's inside of you is going to come out. Replacing the old person in you with the new person. See, when you say, God, I want you to take this sin out of my life, and if you don't put anything back, it's going to be filled up with the old stuff again. You know when, you know, y'all know I like comic books. Y'all know I like comic books. Get this. Superman and Clark Kent. Everybody knows that Clark Kent's Superman except for Lois Lane. And I don't understand how Lois Lane, who is a Pulitzer Prize winning journalist in comic books, that means she's super smart and an investigative reporter, can't look and say, take your glasses off, Clark. Oh, Clark, Superman. I don't understand why she can't figure that out. I mean, if she's so smart, why can't she figure it out? Take your glasses off. Oh, you're Superman. I know. I mean, people can't get Batman because Batman's out. He's like, I'm Batman. I'm Batman. What'd you say, Batman? I'm Batman. I mean, nobody. And then when he's Bruce Wayne, he's like, hey, how you doing? I'm Bruce Wayne. You know, Superman is like, hello, I'm Superman. And then Clark Kent's like, hello, I'm Clark Kent. You know, I don't understand. But get this, when he's Clark Kent, he's Clark Kent. But when trouble happens, when there's trouble, when everything goes, when the aliens pop in, or when the building starts to tremble, or, you know, the helicopter flies out of the sky and is about to crash, he sheds Clark Kent. And who he is, Superman, goes into action. The hero comes out. Guys, this is what I want to ask you tonight. I'm going to ask that you bow your heads and close your eyes. And this is what I want to ask you. Have you cleaned the inside? Have you cleaned the inside? We know what the outside looks. We even know how the outside smells. And some of y'all even smell good.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thanks for wearing the deodorant tonight. But guys, it's the inside that's what I'm concerned about. The inside of your life. Jesus' true conversion in your life and sanctification in your life is to clean out the inside. To take out the trash. And to get rid of it. Guys, tonight, I want to give you that opportunity to give it all to God. If you have not become that new man or new woman, tonight's your night. If you do not have that relationship with God in your life, tonight is your night. You may look pretty. Oh, you are pretty. What am I kidding? All of y'all are pretty. Y'all so pretty. Even the girls. But guys, this is what I want. Is I want you to be right on the inside. I want everything to be whole on the inside. And that's only done by having a true relationship with God.